Sean Green has joined us on Sports Byline USA. Again, the name of this book is called The Way of Baseball, Finding Stillness at 95 Miles Per Hour. Played 14 years in the majors with the Blue Jays, Dodgers, and the Diamondbacks. You moved on to Los Angeles to play with the Dodgers, and you talk about in the book about the difference in kind of the atmosphere and really the pressure aspect of it. Talk to me a little bit more about that, Sean.
Yeah, in Toronto, by baseball standards, I had a small contract. I was still finishing up my fifth year when I got traded from that. I just finished my fifth year, and you know, I was just playing the game. I had no expectations. I was close with the guys on the team, guys like Carlos Delgado, Alex Gonzalez, not the one that's still playing, but the one that retired, Darren Fletcher, Pat Hankin. All these guys were close friends, guys I played with for a number of years, and you know, got traded and came there with a ton of expectations. I thought before, when I get that big contract, I'm going to be so happy. It's going to be great. And you know what? Money does bring a lot of benefits, but it also, at the same time, does bring some challenges. That now I all of a sudden had to be the guy that, in my mind, that was going to hit 40 home runs and drive in 120 runs. I had to come in there and be the next Sandy Koufax in the Jewish population and be that, wearing that Dodger uniform. Tommy Lasorda was comparing me to Ted Williams, and I had all these things that were kind of coming along with me as I moved to LA, playing for my hometown team. And I got off to a really good start, but I wasn't happy with it because it was, my home runs were tracking below where they were the year before. And I said, you know what, I'm on pace to hit 30 home runs. That's not good enough. I should hit 40, 45 home runs. Last year at this time I had 15 home runs. Now I only have 10. I got to catch up. And as soon as I got into that mindset, my .330 batting average fell. You know, by the end of the season, I was down to .269. Only hit 24 home runs after hitting 42 in Toronto, and was a big disappointment for the team after they you know, laid out this big contract for me for the next 6 years. And I think a lot of guys would go through that. You see every year some of the teams like the Mets or Boston or whoever sign some the big free agents or trade for guys, and a lot of them, not all the time, but a lot of times guys start off struggling, and I think you kind of know going in that there's a lot of pressure, but I think until you really experience it, you don't know exactly how to handle it.
Is there a correlation between contract, market size, and the expectations that a player puts on themselves?
I think so. I think, you know, certain markets are always going to be harder. Number one's New York. Number two is probably Boston. And tied for third, what I would say, would be L.A. and Chicago. And you know, San Francisco could be tough as well. So, I mean, there's nothing like New York. That's the most difficult. But, you know, when I played in Arizona, that was a much easier market to play in. There was, you know, a few reporters after the game as opposed to, you know, 30 reporters after a game with the Mets, or, you know, maybe 20 with the Dodgers. So the more attention that there is associated with the team, the more pressure there's going to be. It's pretty simple, and the fans in certain cities are pretty rabid and know exactly what's going on, and you're walking down the street and, you know, you're struggling. Someone will say, hey, you know, I'm still pulling for you. I don't care what they're saying on the radio or in the papers. And, you know, it's hard to get away from it.
You also suffered in your relationship with your wife-to-be, Lindsay, at that point. How does that manifest itself when you are frustrated, when you feel the pressure and everything? Do you become irritable? Do you become short-tempered? Do you withdraw? What is it?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of self-absorbed at that point, trying to deal with all my baseball. We were still dating, and the year before we were in Toronto, and it was kind of like our own little world, and it was great. And all of a sudden came back. We're both from Southern California, and kind of came back into, you know, what was like a buzzsaw. We weren't expecting all this. I thought it would be easier to be playing at home, and it was actually a lot harder because all of a sudden my baseball world with her was combined with my off-season world and her life back home, and it got to be a little bit overwhelming. But the thing that, you know, I try to illustrate in my book, which I think comes off pretty clearly, is how a lot of these issues that I was dealing with at baseball, or the good times that I was dealing with baseball, they were really not exclusive. It was radiating to other aspects of my life, and that's how, when I wrote the book, I knew that it would help people relate to their own lives, because it, even though baseball is a pretty specific, profession, and people can relate as a fan a lot of times, but not quite as a player. Everyone can relate to having, struggles or strains in a relationship. Everyone can relate to getting caught up in expectations from their boss or at school, trying to get to the next college, and those are the kind of things that I developed tools to deal with. And, I still had plenty of ups and downs even when I had the tools, and those things don't go away, but I think I was able to manage them much better.
John, you also had another pressure point, and it's an interesting one because, when it comes to boxing, they always talk about white boxers being the great white hope. In baseball, it was the pressure of you being a Jewish baseball player, a Jewish sports star, and everybody compared you to Sandy Koufax. I mean, there was Hank Greenberg, of course, was a great Jewish baseball player. What is it about being Jewish and being a baseball player that gets that type of comparison and pressure in baseball, as you don't have it in some of the other sports?
Yeah, I just think there's less Jewish players in other sports. I mean, for some reason, baseball always seems to have some significant players. Right now, there's some great ones in Ryan Braun, Ian Kinsler, Ike Davis, Jason Marquis. There's some really, really good top players. Whereas, some of the other sports, you don't see a lot of great Jewish boxers or a ton of Jewish basketball or football players. So I think a lot of Jews are big baseball fans. A good portion of the Jewish people in our country have roots in New York, and New Yorkers are passionate about their Yankees and Mets, and I think that's, I don't know, have the exact answer why so many Jewish people are rabid baseball fans, but it's, I think it's a pretty common thread in our culture. And, for me, even when I was playing in Toronto, there was, I always felt a responsibility and an obligation to be a good role model for Jewish kids throughout the country and throughout Canada, who were looking to me as, the rare baseball figure, Jewish baseball figure, when there's, they could look to actors or musicians, and there's quite a few, but in baseball and in sports, there's not too many.
Yeah, Mike Epstein said to me one time, we had a conversation about this, Sean. He says, Ron, it's bad enough I'm a big guy and they expect me to hit 100 home runs every season. He says, I have to carry a whole religion.
Right.
You graduated, or you came out of Stanford University. I was a play-by-play announcer down there for football and basketball for a period of time, so I know the campus well. You played for a wonderful coach who has been down there for a long time, and Mark Marquis. Tell me about that Stanford background and what you took from it that still stays with you today, Sean.
Yeah, no, actually, I signed with Stanford out of high school, and I got drafted by the Blue Jays, and it came down the very end of the draft, right before school started, where I ended up signing. So I went to Stanford for a couple years in the off seasons, but I never got a chance to play there, unfortunately. It was a difficult decision because I really liked Coach Marquis and what they had to offer, but I was drafted in the first round. I think Stanford's an amazing place, and Mark Marquis has just done an incredible job with both Stanford and college baseball and the USA team as well.
When you think back on your career, it was a long one. Anybody that could play double-digit years in any sports gets my respect. What is it that that you remember the most about your career, and what is it that you take with you even today?
Well, I mean, I just am thankful to have had the opportunity to play for so many years and play in some great cities, and the friendships that I built there, I think will never be duplicated, because when you're with guys for 162 games and another 40 days of spring training, that's 2/3 of a year, and you get to know them pretty well, and they're like brothers. So that's really what, when you talk to guys who, I'm sure you talk to guys all the time that retire from sports, and they say they miss the camaraderie, and I understand that. It's really hard to find that type of camaraderie where you're all pulling together. You can find it in the military, where you're all pulling for the same cause, and you can find it in sports, and I'm sure in some other areas, firemen and policemen. But it's something that I think all players, when they leave the game, that they miss the most.
What do you want people to take away from this book, The Way of Baseball?
Well, I hope, one, that people just enjoy it, because I think it's a nice kind of behind-the-scenes look at what a hitter goes through. But more importantly, I think I hope that some fans who maybe never paid any attention to how to handle the fast-paced lives that we have nowadays with the internet and TV and exchanges and this and that. There's so much going on so quickly, in real time. How to step back and find stillness and have tools in their own lives to find peace, because it's really hard when you're always chasing the future and regretting the past to find that peace.
Well, congratulations on the book, and also you did something that I really respect you for. You were always there signing the autographs for the kids as well. Thanks a lot, Sean, for joining us. Take care. Come back anytime.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Sean Green, 14 years in professional baseball, Major League Baseball, and he's written a book. Check it out. It's called The Way of Baseball, Finding Stillness at 95 Miles Per Hour. I'm Ron Barr. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.